Hi everybody, it's me, Ryan George. I write and shoot and edit and star in the Pitch Meeting series as producer guy and also provide the voice for screenwriter guy, who is of course entirely a CGI creation. So this is a little weird. This is a strange thing that's happening right now. I'm talking directly to the camera as me. I'm in a real room with real things. I can interact with things in the background and you can see my legs. This isn't natural. Also, if you're a regular viewer of Pitch Meeting, you might have seen the title of this video and thought, hey, you already did that one. And although you should work on your enunciation because I barely understood that, you're right. So here's the explanation for this deeply strange moment that I'm forcing you to live right now. If you're a regular viewer of Pitch Meeting, you may have noticed that I used to do weekly uploads, and now it's kind of, every couple of weeks. I'm fine, everything is okay. I'm just giving myself a little more breathing room after 5 years of doing this every single week. I'm allowing myself to calm down a little bit, which I think will be very good for my mental health. And also allow me to put more energy and effort into the pitch meetings that I do do. I'm pausing so you could write a comment about the fact that I just said doo-doo. So there are gonna be at least two new pitch meetings every single month, at least. And instead of just leaving the channel kind of dormant on those off weeks, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of bring some of those old pitch meetings from the Screen Rant channel and make them available on the Pitch Meeting channel. And instead of just doing copy-paste, I thought it might be fun to kind of revisit them because I don't remember what I've said. I've made over 300 of these. So the way this will work is I'll play the pitch meeting now, and then afterwards, I'll talk a little bit about it. Do I still stand by what I said? Did anything age poorly? Have I aged poorly? Yes, I have. I'll also maybe do things like react to the top comments, maybe answer some questions if those come in, and maybe that'll be fun. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be entertaining or not. So without further ado, enjoy the pitch meeting for Avatar that I made several years ago, and I'll see you after. I will be drawing a cat while that's happening. So, you have a movie for me.
Yes, sir, I do. It's Pocahontas, but in space with some big blue kitty cats.
Oh, all right. Just give me a minute, okay?
What you doing?
Oh, I'm just calling an ambulance for you. Yes, hello, the person I'm talking to is having a stroke.
Oh, no, I didn't have a stroke. The movie's like a sci-fi Fern Gully with aliens called the Na'vi.
Yeah, he's definitely having a stroke. He's just saying gibberish words.
Once again, sir, I'm not having a stroke.
If you say so. Hey, maybe send an ambulance anyway. I like when the sirens go, wee-oo!
That is a fun noise, sir.
So what's the movie about?
Well, it takes place in the future when some humans go to a planet called Pandora because they want to mine this mineral.
Oh, what's the mineral called?
Well, since the humans are having a hard time obtaining it, I thought we could call it Unobtainium.
Oh, okay. So
that's like a placeholder name and you're gonna come up with something less ridiculous?
Oh, yep. Yep, for sure. I will.
Great. So anyway, this guy Jake Sully ends up on Pandora to take the place of his brother that died.
Okay.
And since he has the same DNA as his brother, he's able to control this multi-million dollar avatar they made for him, which is like a hybrid between a human and the Na'vi species.
Man, it sounds like you're gonna need a lot of exposition to explain all this stuff.
Oh yeah, but I actually found a really clever and subtle way to do it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, once in a while I have Jake do these video log things, and they're just straight up expository dialogue spoken directly at the camera.
Wow, that's some pretty heavy-handed exposition.
Well, I'm just following the classic rule of writing here, tell, don't show.
Oh, I think you might have got that backwards.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So anyway, Jake goes out on this nature expedition with a couple of scientists, and he's there as kind of a bodyguard.
Oh, so he has like an extensive knowledge about the planet and the stuff that lives there?
No, he immediately runs into two different types of violent animals and has no idea what to do.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he doesn't even know that his gun is basically useless against them.
So why would they have this guy be the bodyguard if he's so obviously useless?
Because he's the main character.
Right, makes sense.
So yeah, he gets separated from the scientists and gets lost in the sprawling jungle of Pandora.
But I imagine the humans could just track him and pick him up.
No, they have no way of doing that. Avatars don't have any tracking capabilities.
No, he's totally off the grid.
But if their technology lets them remotely connect to the avatars, that means they do somehow know where they are.
Oh, yeah, no, I guess you're right.
So... let's ignore that and move on?
That works for me.
Thank God.
So what happens now that he's lost in the jungle?
Well, he's about to get killed by these dog things and this Na'vi woman, Neytiri, saves him.
Okay.
And Jake seems to be special or something, so he gets to be trained by her to join the clan.
Oh, what kind of stuff does he get trained to do?
Well, she shows him how to plug his ponytail into some animals.
What?
Yeah, if you plug your ponytail into animals, you get to control them.
That sounds pretty gross.
Oh yeah, it's pretty weird, and at a certain point, if you want to join the clan, you have to plug it into this banshee dragon thing.
Oh yeah?
yeah, what's that like?
Well, you have to wrestle it down and shove your thing into its thing,
and it's gonna fight back, but you really need to pin it down and shove your tail in there.
That sounds like something you should go to jail for.
What?
Well, you're saying you need to basically force yourself onto this creature?
Yeah, but it's not a sensual thing, they just connect the ponytails.
Do the Na'vi have a way of getting sensual?
Yeah, I actually have a really nice love scene in here where what they do is connect the ponytails.
So the tail is a sensual thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so we're definitely cutting that part out of the love scene.
Tell you what, let's shoot it and see how we feel in editing.
I can tell you right now that I feel gross about it.
So maybe it'll be in the extended cut. Let's just shoot it and see.
Okay.
Awesome.
So is there a bad guy in the movie, or?
Oh yeah, there's this mean hardcore military guy, Colonel Quaritch.
What's his deal?
Well, a movie's only as good as its villain, so I made sure to give him a really compelling backstory and multi-layered character development.
Oh, you did.
Nah, I'm just kidding. He's just a really mean military guy. That's as far as that goes.
Well, I guess that is all we need to know. Plus, that'll keep the runtime down.
Right, although it's gonna be about 3 hours long.
Oh my god.
So anyway, Jake's gonna become kind of the leader of the tribe by taking control of this big dragon thing called the Turok.
Okay.
And only 5 people in history have been able to take control of this thing.
Wow, so it's gonna be a real struggle for him to take control of it.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he realizes that, hey, maybe nobody's attacked this thing from above, and so that strategy works immediately.
Hard to believe no one's ever thought of that.
So anyway, at the end of the movie, the bad humans are gonna try to drop some bombs on the Na'vi so they could take the unobtainium.
How are the Na'vi supposed to defend themselves from bombs falling from the sky?
Well, the humans are gonna fly low enough to be within range of the arrows.
Very cool of them.
And so the Na'vi are gonna take down the choppers, and it's gonna look super awesome.
Wouldn't the bombs explode when the ships crash?
Oh yeah, they're gonna blow up like a couple of feet away from their intended targets, and for some reason that's gonna be okay.
And so the Na'vi are gonna win.
Yeah, and the bad humans are gonna get shipped back to their dying planet.
What's to prevent them from just coming back with more bombs?
The movie's over.
Oh, okay, good.
So basically what we have is this awesome-looking movie that spreads a really important message.
What's the message?
That nature is important, and if you let money drive your motivations, you're a bad person.
And what kind of budget are you aiming for?
About $250 million.
If that's really the message you want to send, maybe we could donate that money to a charity.
No, I want to make a movie. Give me money.
Fair enough. Spending money on preachy messages is tight.
Hey, there's more where that came from if you want to give me some more money.
I like your style.
Now that I look at it closer, it doesn't have a neck. So that was the pitch meeting I made for Avatar several years ago. Weird to watch. I hadn't watched that in a while.
I can tell rewatching this that I haven't quite settled into the characters yet. I'm still a little uncomfortable on camera. Like, my voice isn't as deep. It's just a little high-pitched. I'm smiling a lot, but I don't quite know what I'm doing just yet. But I am dipping my toes into the weirdness with the Wii U kind of thing. I stand by that.
It's interesting to revisit this now that the second Avatar has come out. It makes me realize it was a weird decision to just bring back that army guy again. Like, he was in the first one just plain evil army guy, and they're like, yep, again. You've got a whole planet. You've got 2 planets. You have the dying planet Earth, and you have Pandora, which is mostly unexplored. Endless possibilities for villains, and the army guy came back. It's fascinating. And spoilers, if you haven't seen the new Avatar, he doesn't even die at the end of the second one. Not that death stopped him from coming back. Is he gonna be in the third? Is he always gonna be the bad guy?
I'm just now coming up with a conspiracy theory that what is interesting about this character is that he's generic, yet keeps coming back. Like, that's what's interesting to watch about this guy. It's like, how is he still the guy?
Anyway, I did make fun of the exposition in the first movie, and it's, you know, movies need exposition sometimes. We're on a new planet, there are concepts that the audience needs to understand, you need exposition.
It's not so much the fact that there is exposition, it's just the way in which it's done.
There are creative ways to do exposition, and then there are ways that feel a little lazier. Like, if you're watching a movie and they turn on a TV and there's a news program about exactly the thing they need to learn in that moment,
if a character turns to another character and says, as you know, and then explains everything that they both know,
why would they be re-explaining?
And yeah, I mean, directly talking to the camera as a video diary is pretty in-your-face exposition.
But maybe sometimes that's the way to go.
I think I heard the term eating your broccoli on the Script Notes podcast, and it basically means you gotta have this information and then we can move on to the fun stuff, then we can have dessert and whatnot.
Sometimes that's the way to go. Just 2 minutes of hard exposition, voiceover, and then we have fun.
I don't know.
But yeah, one of the main rules of screenwriting is show, don't tell.
If I had to do this pitch meeting again, I would shorten some of the jokes.
That whole section about plugging your tails, I feel like it drags on a little too long.
I do now kind of remember writing this and kind of struggling to incorporate that lovemaking scene because it is a deleted scene. So that meant not only explaining the scene, but explaining the fact that it was deleted, but there was probably a better way for me to do that. There is kind of a funny thing at the end of this pitch meeting that I didn't show you just now, but I'll show you right now.
Hey guys, Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. There are over 50 pitch meetings on the channel that you could check out. Kind of a long binge, but if you like this video, you'll probably like those.
As this comment points out, I have done so many more than 50 at this point. Also, on most of these pitch meetings, I was doing that kind of standard call to action at the end. Don't forget to subscribe. Remember, I don't know that that's ever made a difference in anyone's lives. Did any of you subscribe to pitch meetings because you had forgotten and I reminded you? I feel like now everybody knows what a call to action is at the end of a YouTube video, so I've definitely gotten a little more unhinged with them recently.
Hi everybody, Ryan Jordy here. Thank you for watching that pitch meeting. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Another interesting comment pointing out that, yeah, that's what happened in the sequel. Came back. Anyway, that's about it for this video. Thanks for watching. I hope that was interesting. I don't know. If you have any questions or comments you want me to respond to in the next one of these that I do, let me know in the comment section. And don't forget to subscribe. Okay, bye.